Amen. Not as flowery as I was expecting, but it'll work. Amen. Thank you, preacher. Thanks for being our friend.
A red cup of water.
Okay. Good. Do I have to inspect it for mustache hair? It's not here. Some places. Come on. Hey, good evening. What day is this? Wednesday night. We're in church. You're in church every Wednesday. It's good to be here tonight, but this week we get a chance to be here tomorrow and Friday and Saturday. And our desire, like it's already been prayed, is that the Lord would see fit to meet with us. We make him welcome by getting our heart prepared, like it's already been said. And I trust that that's the case. And, well, you might have missed something. We're going to pray the Holy Spirit puts his finger on it this night, this week. It's been 2 years since I was here. I was hoping the Lord would be back before I got the privilege to come back, but he saw fit to tarry, and we know why. He's not done. And that means we're not done. If he's not willing that any should perish, we need to be mindful that we're not supposed to be either. So hopefully you get a charge this week to get whatever you need to get, whether it's something right or something rethought, but to get busy for the cause of Christ. Let me say this, get it out of the way. When President Trump got reelected, the thought occurred to me, maybe I'd have a shot at that presidential pardon again. I kind of put that thought away during the last guy. I hesitate, you know. But anyway, and then I thought, well, maybe I should write him a letter. And I thought about that for months. And when the Lord, and I mean when the Holy Spirit gave me the green light, I did. And on July 4th, because he likes dates and things like that, and I do too, I mailed a letter to him and the Department of Justice, Office of the Pardon Attorney, again, my senator. And I sent out a prayer letter asking God people to make it a matter of prayer maybe again. And so that's all. I'm going to remind you of that. If you think about it, we hear these great hymns about how the Lord signed our, sealed our pardon, and that's what we are. We're abundantly pardoned if we're saved. And so we get reminded of that word more often than maybe a regular person would. But when you think of that, if maybe the Lord will remind you that Brother Spurgeon's got a president. Would I love to get a chance to go receive it personally? Because you know what? I mean, I hope you know what I would ask him. If he knows what we know about eternity. All right? So, with that all being said, take your Bible tonight and go to Psalm 56. I'm excited to be here. Of course, I was excited to be in St. Cloud last week. And I was excited to be in Plymouth, Iowa the week before that. I'm excited about just get an opportunity to brag on my Savior. Amen. And be in a place where that's okay. Is that okay?
Yes, sir.
We got a good start with the music. And trust we'll have a good week. Verse 4, Psalm 56, the Bible says this, in God I will praise His word. In God have I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. That's flesh. That's other people's flesh. There's another verse about what men. Now, even your own flesh. If your trust is in God, then you got an upper hand on your stinking unregenerated flesh. Yes. In God, I will praise His word. And then verse 10, the Bible says this: in God will I praise His word. In the Lord will I praise His word. If I had any wonder about what to preach tonight, when I pulled in yesterday and looked at the marquee, verse 10, is that okay to call it that? Because I have no idea what else you call it. And verse 10 was up there, and I looked at that, and I'm going, really? And I want to preach about His word tonight. I will call this message, you have His word on it. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 32, and it says, and they were astonished at His doctrine, and they're talking about Him. They're talking about the Savior that we've been singing about. They were astonished at His doctrine, for His word was with power. Boy, and it was, and it still is. No marvel, the Bible says, where the word of a king is, there's power. And that's exactly who was talking. Not a king, the king. It says in 1 John chapter 2, go ahead and go there. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 5. Give you something to do while I look for this water. It's kind of dark under here. Or maybe it's me. But anyway, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 5, the Bible says this, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Whoso keepeth his word. Now, for you or I or a regular person to give your word on a matter is a solemn oath or promise. At least it was when I was growing up. It meant something. If you gave your word, then there was something connected to that. I've sure noticed it doesn't mean what it meant back then anymore. But in God's book, we've got God's word. We've got God's word on everything that matters. Not my word, not yours, not your opinion, not your favorite preachers. That's his word. Where the word of the king is, there is power. So I want to preach on that for a little bit. Kick this thing off tonight. Probably won't say anything tonight or in the next 5 days that you haven't heard before, perhaps responded to before, embraced before, but we're going to hear it again from a different source. The Bible says out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let thing be established. So I just come in here to bear witness to what your preachers, the men here that preach, your pastor, amen. Okay, so let's pray. Father, I love you tonight. And again, we come to you in the name that is above every name. And we're mindful tonight of the great sacrifice that was made to give us your word. The sacrifice was made by men throughout the ages, some at the very cost of their lives, so that we could have it. And we got it. And help us, God, be reminded this night, this week, of the importance of it. Because it is indeed the guidebook, the instruction manual for life. And not just this life. Help us, Lord God, to be submitted to your spirit in spite of this fast-moving world, the many distractions. Help us just to have some time tonight and the next couple nights to just put all that stuff aside for a little bit, and perhaps any burdens that we come in here with that are real might be easier to carry with a touch from thee. And we pray it be so in Jesus' name. And also, Lord God, I don't know everybody. I've met some people already tonight that I haven't met before. And I don't know everybody's spiritual condition. A lot of people are in church and aren't saved. I don't know if that's the case. But God, if that is the case, Lord, I pray that something would happen tonight that would draw them closer to the cross of Calvary, that they might have the confidence that we're singing about. We're not just believing it. We're singing about it. We're rejoicing over it. Pray that if somebody needs to get saved, that they would. Even starting tonight. What a great way to start. I love you tonight, Lord, and praying that you bless. All it's said and done in Jesus' magnificent name. Amen. Take your Bible, go to Psalm 119. 119. Let me say, first of all, his word is imperative for victory over sin. I'm talking about victory over sin. Now, this world's got programs. Colleges and schools across the land are cranking out social workers, amen, at record rate, and many with good intention. And they come up with programs and ideas, and they write books and pamphlets. And there's some victory that can be found in following some of that stuff. But victory comes from Jesus Christ. And victory comes from following the word of God. Victory over sin. It says in verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Verse 11, Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. These are very familiar verses, and they're very powerful verses. They're very true verses. Thy word have I hid in mine heart. Considering how powerful the world, the flesh, and the devil all are, and the fact that they work in conjunction with each other too often, there's something about getting a hold of the word of God and hiding it in your heart that can give you not just power over, but victory over sin. Sin's the problem. And it says, thy word. Now, take your Bible, go over to James chapter 1. And this verse that I'm about to read has been echoing in my ears. I got another message working on it. I'm going to try to keep them filtered out. But I'm going to refer to verse 22 in James chapter 1. And the writer says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Then it says, deceiving your own selves, that we're hearers for sure. Not only do we get preaching, we've got it online. We have sermon audio. I hear people mention that. Well, I don't know if I'm going to say often. I don't know much about it. But there's a lot of preaching on there. I hear people say, I listen on the way to work and back. And a lot of people drive an hour. And then we've got YouTube and things like that. And I'm not real big on that either. Live streaming, a lot of places live stream. Amen. Some don't. I don't have an opinion on it because I'm just an evangelist. Amen. I don't even get a vote on it. Amen. Once in a blue moon, whatever that means, somebody will say, Brother Burton, do you mind if we put this online? And I'd say, you know, I don't care, but thanks for asking, because most people don't. Amen. They just do it. But I guess that doesn't matter to me, because I'm going to try to stay according to the book, and who knows, everybody needs that. Amen. But we don't want to be deceived into thinking that just knowing that the King James Bible is the inerrant, inspired, perfect Word of God, that we're somehow exempt from the works of the flesh that Paul warns about in Galatians chapter 5. Amen. And that can happen if we hear it, and don't do anything with it. We've got to be doers, and somehow we've proven, sadly, we've proven too many times that we're far from exempt. Matter of fact, that kind of thinking that just knowing and believing that the King James Bible is the perfect Word of God, just we've deceived ourselves into thinking that alone makes us exempt. What it does really is make us easy prey for the devil. I'll just quote it, but Matthew chapter 4, in verse 6, you've got the devil tempting the Lord Jesus in the wilderness, and he's tempting him with scripture, and he knows exactly who Jesus is, and he's throwing scripture at him, and just the thought struck me that knowing exactly who Jesus is and not doing what he says while throwing scripture around and waving your Bible makes you more like the devil than the Lord. Amen. That's exactly what he does. And I hope that doesn't describe anyone in here. Amen. That book says, and you're familiar, Romans chapter 10, says faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Faith. We're talking about that word is imperative for victory over sin. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. And I'm telling you, faith cometh by hearing, but victory comes by doing, by applying, by putting feet to it. Sometimes that feet will bring you to an old-fashioned altar where you can bow your heart and get something right. And it might bring you the same place to ask God for help or guidance. And sometimes doing what you've heard preached or the Spirit of God has borne witness to will take you to the highways and hedges and make a difference for the glory of Jesus Christ. But you got to do something. Saying all that makes the invitation the most important part of a church service. I heard a preacher say it like this: preaching, power of God, supernatural, I get that. But preaching doesn't change lives if you don't do anything with it. It goes in one ear and out the other, like the deer hunters, you know, the guy, deer got shot and they couldn't figure out who killed it, and the game warden came by and said, must have been the pastor because the bullet went in one ear and ran out the other. Amen. And it doesn't do us any good either. And so you got to do something with it. So that makes about 4 or 5 minutes after the preacher shuts up and the final amen, when you've got an opportunity to bow your head and, Lord willing, your heart, when you got an opportunity to do something with what you just heard or what the Holy Spirit laid on your heart. Because, listen, the Spirit of God is not bound by a preacher's outline. And I found out this, that I've sat and heard things, and the Lord started dealing with me about something, and it wasn't even the topic of the message. God will deal with you if you want Him to, and I hope you want Him to, because like Ben said, this is, it's fun, but it's not spiritual, it's not supernatural, and for the purpose of that God intends to accomplish this week, it's vain. Who's got time for any more of that? I say again, I believe the altar call is very important, and sadly, it's become one of the most neglected parts of the service, because we hear it and we take notes and we're done. We've shut our little notebooks. We're not doing anything. If you don't do anything with your herd, the victory over sin's not there. Amen. His word is imperative. We're talking about the word of God. His word. I know you know all about it. I'm just reemphasizing the fact that His word is imperative for victory over sin. You can memorize it. You can use it. But you better let it get through. You better let it cut through to you. And listen, take it from somebody that had so much baggage, far from the only one. I'll be the first to acknowledge that. And I had a laundry list, man. Things I had to start working on. And I started way behind the curve, almost 38 years old. And I spent a lot of time on my knees, a lot of time on my face, a lot of times getting prayed over. And little by little, great victories came. Amen. I got to a place where I went, Lord, that list I came to you a year ago, look at it, Lord. Look at it. You've helped here and you've helped here. And the list, it's clear. Thank you. And then he said, okay, now start on this one. And that's been going on for 30, almost 35 years. But thank God for the victories we got. But it wasn't because, well, I didn't turn over a new leaf. I kind of liked what I was doing. But God saw fit to put me in a place where this book was believed and this book was taught and this book was preached. And all I had, I didn't know much. I wasn't a student. I didn't know much about prayer, but I had enough sense to get to the church house when something was going on. And you kind of, like osmosis, you know, you start just absorbing. And it gets good when God starts giving victory. But you got to get in the Bible, because it ain't magic. And it ain't automatic. And it's got nothing to do with joining a church or getting back. That doesn't do it. That does it. Thank God for His word. Amen. We're sinful people. And there's a lot of degrees. But on our best day, we are born sinners. And then we get saved, praise the Lord, and we get some victory over maybe the big things. I had a lot of big things. Now I'm working on little things, like I said, but we're talking about His word. It's not just imperative for victory over sin. It's imperative for victory over the flesh. And what say, Brother Burton, didn't you say that? Well, listen, everything about the flesh is not sinful, but it is carnal. Amen. It is temporal. And it says in, Paul wrote it like this in 1 Corinthians 3:1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. Well, they were saved folks. But as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. They were babies in Christ. Amen. Truth of the matter is, the flesh, I don't know, I've only been saved, like say, I'm going on 35 years in a couple of months. Maybe there's a point that I've not reached yet. But as far as I can tell, the flesh wants to have its own way. Every time. Amen. That's why Burger King Christianity is flourishing in America today. And I didn't make that up. I didn't coin that phrase, but it's so appropriate. Now, if I look around the room, I could probably point out some people in here that remember the Burger King jingle. And I can look around and see some people probably have no idea what I'm talking about. And I don't even know. Maybe you saw it on TV last night. I have no idea. But I will not sing it, but I will give you the words. I tried to sing it. And when my wife's walking around in a motorhome with her fingers in her ears, I'm like, okay, thank you. I asked for a sign. He often uses her to give me one. But the lyrics went something like this. Hold the pickle, hold the lettuce. Special orders, don't upset us. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Amen. Who can serve your broiled beef whopper any way you think is proper? Actually, I didn't remember that, but I did Google this. So that's accurate. But the catchphrase, and we do remember, have it your way. And that's the way people want their Christianity. They want to have it their way. Amen. Contemporary Christianity jingle, compliments of Dave Spurgeon, goes something like this. Hold the preaching on sin and holiness, and come to think of it, standards, definitely repentance, and you know what? Lay off the faithfulness thing. You know, we'll come when we can. But the King James Bible does upset us, so please just get rid of it and add a couple of, or add a double order of choruses, comfort, and compliment so we feel better about ourselves. That's modern Christianity. Well, that's not getting victory over the flesh. That's not even admitting the flesh needs to get victory over. And that's why everybody's, feels good. I'm not a hugger. Don't even. I can't even spell kumbaya, let alone sing it. I don't want no part of it. And I'm not being critical, but I get the end of the day. The point I'm trying to make is I'm sure glad that I have the Word of God. And I, like I told the preacher, I didn't arrive in our camp, if you will, because of some spiritual journey. And some of you did. Some of you came through different denominations. Some of you, I came through the prison system. I think I was an advantage, actually. I mean, I didn't have any conflicting, theological issues. Just a lot of sin. Which is a blessing because Jesus Christ came to save sinners. I mean, that was easy. Amen. Oftentimes, Paul says to fight the good fight. And he gets to the end of his life. And after saying in the previous letter, of whom I am chief of sinners, after 30 plus years serving God, he got to the end of his life. He says, I have fought a good fight. And I just wonder if he didn't mean, or if we shouldn't at least be aware that the good fight of faith is often with that person that meets you in the mirror. We can make it sound like whatever, the world, the last days. Man, my biggest enemy meets me in the bathroom mirror every morning. And so does yours. Oftentimes, the good fight of faith is with your flesh, but it's a battle worth fighting. And I've seen, this ain't good teaching, this isn't something I heard. I've seen that the Word of God will enable you to get victory. Not only over the sins that were taking you to hell, Jesus Christ delivered you from hell, but he delivered you from the sin. But then this everyday flesh that's subtle and deceptive and sneaked up on you, you can get victory over that too. Same way through the book, through his word. This Bible is way more important than, well, definitely probably the majority of Christianity thinks. But I've been doing this long enough to realize that this Bible is more important than even the people that claim to be Bible believers give it credit to me. Amen. Word of God, His Word. I like that. I like the ring of that. I like that. I like that. When I pulled in, when I in God, I will praise His word. In the Lord will I praise His word. His word. Everybody's talking, boy. Everybody's got a mouth. Get on any kind of news out. Everybody talking, talking, talking. Turn it off for a month, which I recommend. And a month later, you wouldn't even know you missed anything. Nothing changes. Nothing changes. It's all just a bunch of foolishness. And I mean, some of it's important, you know, but somebody talked about things, the length of time, whatever a news cycle is, that's how long something's important, and there's going to be something else, and I'm glad I don't have to worry about that stuff. But you know what? We talk about the absence of something leaves a vacuum, so all the stuff, all the info, all the stuff going on in that world, if you just cut it off, it'd leave a vacuum, but, well, you fill the vacuum. We have His word. So, you're a sinner. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And you put your faith and trust in Christ. And now you're a saved sinner. Amen. And I go places where people, well, I'm just a sinner, and I still, you know, I think God, it's time for God's people to start acting like children of the King a little bit more than just using that old fallen nature. You know, it says the flesh lusts against the spirit. I get that. But the spirit's supposed to be fighting back. Yeah. Time to fight back. Let's kick that up a notch. Amen. So you get your victory over the sins that were taking you to hell, and then you got to start working on this flesh, and the same, the word of God will give you victory over the flesh, and then you got to grow. And the word of God is critical for spiritual growth. Critical. Amen. I didn't know any Bible when I got saved. Now, I'm no more saved tonight than I was that day, but I made some progress in the spiritual growth areas. Trust me. So, just like a plant needs, and I'm taking somebody's word for this because I'm no farmer. Just like a plant needs certain things to grow, so do we. So, plants need water, right? Plants in moist climates flourish as compared to deserts. I don't know how close you were to the Amazon rainforest, but I hear there's a lot of moisture there. Amen. I've been to some deserts, and so I get that. I get that. If I was to think about some places that I've been in this country, even way up north, where it rains a lot, or maybe back over in Washington and Oregon, where it rains a lot, compared to, there's a place in Arizona called the Tonto National Forest. Tonto National Forest. It's north of Phoenix and Mesa. And I was driving around there with my little girl, Evie, when she was still on the road with us, so that's been a while. And we're driving around looking for something, and we're way out in the middle of nowhere, and we see a big sign, Tonto National Forest. And we're driving along, and Evie goes, Dad, I thought forests were supposed to have trees. And about the tallest thing out there, until we finally ran across a saguaro cactus, was a bush about this big, probably had a rattlesnake on her. I said, trust me, we ain't getting out. And tumbleweed blows across the road, you know, and it's calling it a forest. And she says, Dad, what's wrong with this picture? Well, it's a very arid climate. Amen. But I'll tell you, the Petrified Forest National Park, about 160 miles north of there, and there ain't even nothing growing there. It's just a bunch of they say they were trees. I think they're just rocks. I don't know. They look like downed rocks. The word forest doesn't even come to mind when you got, why? No water, no growth, death. Now, a forest doesn't come to mind, but the moon. I'm pretty sure if the moon shot may very well have been filmed in Arizona or Utah. I'm not sure. Amen. Because that's what it looked like to me. Amen. Plants need water to grow. I've been in places where there's a lot of plants. Let me just help you out. And you know this, Minnesota. But there's no tree shortage in America. Believe me. Amen. That's a lie. Amen. But what are you saying all that for? Well, let's say this. Christians need water to grow also. Ephesians 5, go there. Ephesians chapter 5. And says this in verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it. Talking about the church. Are you saved?
Yes.
That includes you. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. All right, we need the word. And you neglect the importance. You neglect the importance of the word of God, and you can be saved and be just as desolate as the Tonto National Forest. And I wonder if eventually you wouldn't be more like the Petrified Forest, just a bunch of rocks. Amen. We need water. We need the water of the Word of God. Amen. That we grow spiritually. We don't just need it for victory. We do. But that doesn't stop there. We need it to grow. Plants also need, not only do they need water, they need light. Right? Man, the world that God saved me out of, the bars, the biker clubhouses, the dope houses, one thing they had in common, they were dark. And if you ever saw one with the lights on, you'd know why we kept the lights off. They were filthy. And not just dirt, you know, but mold and mildew, bacteria, those are the kind of things that grow in the dark. Am I right? So far, so good? Amen. Well, so does sin. And I'm not asking if I'm right there. I know it's right. And it says in John 3 and 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. We need light. You and I, to grow as children of God, we need light. Psalm 119 and verse 105 said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And thank God he did not save you and me and leave us here to stumble around in the dark. But without the word of God, that's exactly what you'll do. Amen. Thank God. It says in verse 130 of Psalm 119, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Something else you need to grow, though, as a Christian, you need grace and knowledge. And that's why it says this, 2 Peter 3, go there. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. He finishes the chapter after that great admonition in verse 17. He says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Now, growth in nature is a slow process. It takes time. Any horticulturist or anybody involved in growing anything, even animals, they know that growth is very slow and very, amen, little by little. And you don't plant a seed and go out and expect results the next day. There's some effort's got to be put into it, and watering and sowing, watering, then watering and kneading the ground and whatever. But everybody understands that it takes time. Sometimes we see a person get saved and we can't understand why they're not falling in line with what we think they ought to fall in line with in a very short time. That doesn't even make sense in nature. Sometimes we defy logic, child of God. Growing in real time in any way in nature, let's say, plants, animals, doesn't matter, even kids, takes time. And growing in grace is a process, too. It takes time. And as I think back, now being saved this long, it's almost embarrassing how much time it's taken me to get a hold of some things. But you never stop. Amen. All you can do is move on best you can. It says, but grow in grace, and then it says, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And to grow in knowledge takes more than time. It takes actual effort on your part. 1 Timothy 2 and 2 says, as newborn babes desire, that's a verb, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may be grow by, that you may grow thereby. His word is critical for spiritual growth. Like I say, you're not going to be any more saved, but you can definitely stay in the nursery for your whole life after you get saved. We're talking about His Word. His Word is so important, more important than, well, we know it, but we get reminded. And man, I'm glad God didn't put me in the wrong place. I don't think I would have lasted very long if He hadn't put me in a place where the preacher opened that book like he really believed it, and I'm checking him out, and he had no agenda except to deliver the message as it had gotten delivered to him in truth. And boy, it hooked me. His Word is essential. His word is essential for helping other people. I mean, we're here now. We're to grow. We're to get saved and get victory and grow. But really what the Lord wants us to be able to do is help others. It says in Romans 15:4, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Counselors, like I said, I refer to the college crowd, and I'm not anti-college. Amen. I'm not, whether I am or not is not the point I'm making. But counselors learn to comfort people with their words, right? The Christians learn to comfort people with His words. Paul said it like this in 1 Thessalonians 4:18, "Wherefore comfort one another." That wasn't with a hug. And that might be okay, there's times, but it said with these words. Amen. I've got relatives that were not Bible believers. Saved a long time, prayed for me a long time, put up with me while I was a brand new slice and dice Christian. Very nice people, came to the point that we could walk together as far as we agreed, and there was a point where we had to leave it alone. Because they were family. Amen. And then when my cousin, older cousin, died, And I got on the phone, and I was willing to leave and drive, well, I don't know, 500-600 miles to go to the funeral to be there for the family. Family I'd cut off when I went out into that world. Family that prayed for me. When I wanted to, I'm asking God whether or not I could be a help. I got on the phone with a sister and her mother, and they were coming apart at the seams. These were seasoned Christians. These are people have been saved 30 years. At that time, and that's been a while. And because they didn't now, they have the relationship with the Word of God that they could have, instead of thanking God for what they knew or thanking God she was out of pain or thanking God, it was like, how could God have let this happen? She was went to church, she loved God, and she did. She was saved. He gave us a promise, by His stripes we are healed. And I'm thinking, this is so whacked out. I told my wife, I says, we're not going. She goes, you sure? I said, we got nothing to comfort them people with. I want to go with the Word of God. And that's where we draw our source of wisdom. And I couldn't. I knew I couldn't. Thank God we can. Thank God we can comfort one another with these words. That's a big deal. Amen. Amen. We can help other people. It says, I was in a jail service one time. Well, I was talking to a group in a cell block, and a guy in the next cell block was dealing with a guy one-on-one. And he is a guy, he drank a beer sometime. I think he might have smoked a cigarette. You know, he didn't know, he knew what the Bible said, but he didn't have much experience. And the guy he was witnessing to could tell, which doesn't change the Word of God a bit. But credibility matters. So I had a group, and I heard this guy say, yeah, that's all good for you, but you don't know what it's like. And he's talking about being locked up, and he's talking about losing his family, and he's talking about going to prison for a lot of long time. And I heard the guy, what he was giving him was straight, man. I said to these guys, I said, hold on a second, I'll be right back. And I went over to that, down the catwalk to that cell, and I rolled up my sleeve, and I stuck it in the bars, which you weren't allowed to do. And I put my finger around his chest and said, let me tell you something, pal. I know what it's like. I've been there, and what this guy just told you is the truth. And I'll tell you what, 5 minutes later, I went back to my crew, and then they knelt, one on either side of the bar, and he got saved. It wasn't a message that was any different. but I had credibility. God had helped me get through some things, and that let me help. And it's the same way with us. God wants everybody, right? Remember that none perish thing? And we have such a variety of experiences. And you might be just the one, and somebody else will listen to. The message doesn't change, but it's just a human thing. But the Bible says we can comfort one another. Let me read the verse. Whoso comforteth us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. God can use the things that we go through, good, bad, and ugly, to help others. Amen. So, the key to open the door to helping others, interestingly enough, is shaped like a book. It's His Word. Comfort of the Scripture. It's essential for comforting others. Some of you know that because you've been comforted by other Christians, but there's people out there that's our opportunity. That may just how we get their attention, how we can help. All right, most importantly of all, talking about His Word, just starting a meeting here, but most importantly, His Word is the very source of salvation. It says in 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, like religion, or works. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Okay, what does that mean? No, you don't have to waste any time. It says it. By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Without the word of God, you would not even know that you must be born again. You wouldn't know that. I've heard people say, I wanted to find God, but I didn't know how. Without the Word of God, you'd never know how. You might fall for Islam, or Buddhism, or Mormonism, or Catholicism, and believe you are all right. In your heart, I want to find God. Somebody comes along, guess who arranged that, and says, this is what you got to do, okay. Amen. Without the Bible, it's just our word against theirs. Amen. You might get involved in some of that stuff. I've witnessed to some, haven't you? And truly believe you are all right. You wouldn't even know you needed to be saved without His Word. You'd just compare yourself to others and figure you are good, I'm good. You do very much personal work at all. You'll hear that. I've tried to hand out tracts. I'm good, man. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm not going to start arguing. Well, there's none good. No. I'm not. But I'm thinking, without the salvation of God, you're nowhere close to being good.
Yeah, that's right.
And that applies for you tonight. If you're in here tonight and you're not saved, thank God you're in church on a Wednesday night. But if you've never been born again with the best of intentions, you're going to end up in a devil's hell. Say, well, that's just your opinion. That is not my opinion. I didn't come up with that. But that's what that book says pretty clearly. Thank God for His Word. Well, I don't know what to believe. Me neither. When that preacher came to the jailhouse, amen, I ended up in a service just to get out of my cell. And I didn't believe a word he said. I spent 15 years on the mean streets. And everybody had an agenda. And everybody was a con artist, including me. In every situation, every scenario, my wheels were turning to figure out how I could take advantage of it. And I guess I just thought everybody thought like that. And inherently, we kind of do. So I wasn't, I need so much help. I'm in so much trouble. Maybe the answer is here. That is not how Dave Spurgeon went to his first church service. He started going through the Word of God, and I'm like, I'm watching him. I'm watching him for one reason. I don't even remember what he was saying. I was trying to figure him out, just like I did everybody else I'd ran into in the previous 20 years. What is his angle? What does he want? Why is he here 8 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday? What does he want from me? I got nothing. Feds took everything of value I had. Well, except the vet and the stuff that I had in other people's names. So that's another story. Well, they took a lot. Amen. And after about 10 minutes, and I was really good at what I did, I didn't make it to almost 38 years old and where I was out there without being pretty good at analyzing people. And I figured him out. I said to myself, this guy really believes that book. He believes that. He believes all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He believes the wages of sin is death. He believed that Christ died for our sins according to Scripture, was buried and rose again the third day according to Scripture. I didn't believe it. He did not convince me. He wasn't a salesman. And I wasn't susceptible to a sales pitch. I was the opposite. But what I was doing was I was taking note of the fact that he believed it. And when I realized he believed it, when I realized he wasn't trying to get something from me, then I started listening to what he said. Because I wasn't worried about being flim-flammed or conned anymore. And he said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And it took me a couple weeks. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. But I got a hold of the fact that, wait a minute, I took eighth grade English. Whosoever means. And when I laid that Bible on the floor next to my cell, I said, God, if what that book says is true, I got bigger problems than prison. Thank God somebody had the guts to tell me that. The Bible said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And this is how I'm talking to God, because I don't know nothing. I hadn't been in a church in over 20 years. And I said, and if what that book says is true, Jesus Christ, who I learned about as a kid, died on the cross for forgiveness, and I'd heard that, but I said this, if that, what he did could include somebody like me, I want in on this. I don't doubt any of that. If that could include me, and I didn't ask to be saved, I had no spiritual, I had no Bible vocabulary, but I was honest enough with myself to ask for forgiveness because I knew I was a sinner. I worked hard at being a sinner. And I couldn't tell you what happened outside of the Bible. But that's the morning I got saved.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God for the Word of God. Amen. Psalm 106, verse 24. Turn there. Psalm 100, let me see. What did I say? Did I say 106?
Yes.
That's what I meant, 106. Verse 24. Yea, they despised the pleasant land. They believed not his word. That's a tragedy. Acts 26, Paul, it's written that. Some believed and some believed not. These folks, amen, they made a serious choice. And from hell, they know it. They believe now. It's been said, everybody in hell is a Bible believer now. Amen. I'm glad I made that choice on this side because that's what it is. It's a choice. Are you saved in here tonight?
Amen.
Because if not, a bunch of people said, yeah, maybe you did, maybe you didn't. If you're not, you need to be. All right? I'm not prying. I'm not asking for nothing. I'm telling you, if you're not, I don't care who you told you are. I don't care if you convince. If you're not, you need to be. This is the most serious thing there is. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 15 says, see, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. The Word of God shows you the path of life and of death, and the choice is always up to you. So if you're not saved, I hope you make the right decision. The sooner, the better. Not going to try to scare you. You might get hit a deer on the way home. We're in the city. I don't know. Works in the country. But you don't know how long you got. You better get in on this while you can. You say, Brother Spurgeon, you know us. We're all saved. First of all, I don't believe that. Maybe most of you. Maybe all but one of you. That's enough reason to present the gospel to me. But if you're in and you're saved, and you know somebody that's not, you know somebody that needs to have the choices presented to them. Because we live around them and we work around them and we're in family reunions with them and they got their beliefs and you know what it's going to, where it's going to take them. And we need to summon the courage and the wisdom to do it right. But we're the ones that are responsible with letting a dying world know that there's a decision that needs to be made. Amen. Christian, after the gift of eternal life, I got to say this Bible. Talking about his word tonight is the most important thing we have. Psalm 16:11 said, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And listen, that book right there is the closest thing to his presence on this earth that I'm aware of. And I'm not discounting the presence of the Holy Spirit at all. But he wrote the book, so it's kind of, you know what I'm saying? More time you spend in it, the more victory you'll have over sin. More time you spend in the Bible, the more victory you'll have over an unsaved flesh. More time you spend in your Bible, the more spiritual growth. When I say in your Bible, I'm talking about where it's preached, where it's taught, where it's believed. More time you spend in your Bible, the more you'll be able to help someone else. Don't you want to help somebody else? And didn't somebody help you? I got news for you. You weren't born saved. I don't care. Somebody went out of their way. Might have been on by way of their knees somewhere you don't even know about. But that puts a ball in your court. Say, where'd you come up with that? Really? Confess your faults to one another and pray for one another. You may be healed. The effects of fervent prayer of a righteous man avail much. And the more time you spend in the Bible, well, the better the odds are that you'll be a vessel meet for the master's use. That's why we're here, for him. Say, how do you know? He left us his word. You've got his word on it. Again, he didn't change with the times. When God gives his word, it is a solemn oath and promise. Every time I have broke my word more than a few times this side of Calvary, but he never has. All right, let's stand, let's bow our heads and close our eyes for a minute, wrap this one up. And if the Lord dealt with your heart about anything, well, there's an altar. And you say, Brother Virgin, we're Bible believers, our preacher's a great Bible teacher. I know that. But this is what the Lord said. What are you going to do with that? To bring tonight. So if you need to do business with God in any area, it's been mentioned, the altar is open. If you're in here and you're not saved, it's time to get saved. Quit playing around. This is not a game. We've got men. We've got ladies. We've got teenagers in this room right now that could open a Bible and show you whatever's appropriate how to come to Christ. Don't blow it again. And if you need, you need spiritual help, this is where it comes from. Preacher, you ready?